We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
IB Nation, welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We're live here on a Monday, which would typically be a Monday mailbag, but fresh off the pot of gold on Sunday, which was a very busy and hectic day. Sean Davis joining me, of course, co-host of the Lucky Lefty Podcast, recruiting analyst here at IrishBreakdown.com. Sean, we went from early morning. Early morning first. Deuce Knight gets everybody riled up on Sunday, right? Because, pot of gold, right? He gets his Grammy.
The way he should, yeah.
Yes. Then Notre Dame gets the Notre Dame football account on Twitter gets everybody riled up. Then all the coaches get everybody riled up. And then at 9 o'clock, there was a commitment in the 2025 class. Mr. Jerome Bettis Jr. out of Atlanta, Georgia, Woodward Academy, 2025 wide receiver. Obviously, his last name should be very familiar to folks out there. We're going to break that down. And then we're going to get into a deep conversation about the pot of gold, which saw over 100 players in the 2026 class get extended offers from the University of Notre Dame. Sean, we might even have a little bit of a visitor on the show today. Might have a special guest, not a commitment in the class for Notre Dame, but maybe an early 2026 player to know, and probably a player that some of y'all will have a little bit of understanding on who it is the minute that you see the last name. So we're going to get all that today, folks. Just a couple quick announcements on scheduling. Obviously, today was supposed to be the mailbag. Mailbag will be on Friday now. So we just had to flip the recruiting hour and the mailbag this week. We had to break down the pot of gold festivities from Sunday. If you guys have any questions today, we're not going to do a mailbag because trust me, we have a jam-packed show, probably four great segments for you all today. So if there's any questions, super chats are the way to get it on screen and get our initial impulse and our initial reaction and answer the question for you all. So super chats today. Also, Brian has been working on a film breakdown of the 9 FBS opponents that LSU faced last year for offensively from the Mike Denbrock perspective. So you get that stuff at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Make sure that you're signed up there as we get into the great conversation. People are already breaking rules. Sean, they're throwing mailbag questions in the chat. No mailbag today. Super chats. And we'll answer any question that you want to get into today. I am slightly under the weather for people that are asking in the chat. I lost my voice this weekend, but I am back. I'm ready to go. No one's going to stop me. No one is going to stop me today, Sean. Let's get in the first topic of today. Notre Dame at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday. Pot of gold day. Received a commitment in the 2025 class from Atlanta, Georgia, Woodward Academy, wide receiver, Jerome Bettis Jr. Sean, do you know his father? I think his father might have some relevance to the chat. I don't know. Might have some relevance, but let's talk about the commitments. Obviously, we're talking about a wide receiver that has the deep Notre Dame ties. Sean, your initial reaction before we go into the backstory on how this happened, connection to Notre Dame, obviously, get deeper into some of the offers, because although people want to just kind of cherry pick and throw shade at Jerome Bettis Jr., he did have offers from Texas A&M and Arkansas and Georgia Tech and Missouri. Yeah. And he had some legitimate offers on the table and he chose the Irish. Your initial thoughts on Jerome Bettis Jr. picking the Irish?
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Long time coming. Yes. I think it's something we knew was in the chamber and would eventually be manifested. But you know what? I'm happy for the young man. I'm happy for the young man. I don't think, regardless of what you think about him, regardless of what you think about his film, the work academically and the work on the field that goes into even garnering the attention and offer. And look, I'm one of these people that I guess I'm in a gray area when it comes to nepotism. I don't like it when it goes against me. But I'm cool when it helps me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I get that. Yeah.
I had a lot of nepotism in my life. My dad was a very well-known person in the city of Chicago. And, there were times he made some calls on my behalf. And so,
Sean, can I cut you off for a second? Because nepotism isn't created equal, right? Because
I would argue
Bryce Young in the 2024 class got his offer early because of who his dad was, not what he was putting on the film. But in the end of the day, that was a great early nepotism, because although he got his opportunities early on because of his last name, you know what Bryce Young did in the end, Sean, in the 2024 class? He earned it. He earned his offer. He earned the ranking. So not all nepotism is created equal, to your point. It's not. Sorry to cut you off.
And no, some people could say they took a bet on the gene pool, right? To your point, they're not betting so much on the individual in the film. They're saying, yo, it's pretty good genes. So let's take a bet on this and see how it developed. And it worked in the case of Bryce Young. So look, this is a day to tip our caps to the young man.
Yes.
On the work he's put in. Like, regardless, he put himself in position. Because I guarantee, I don't care who his dad is. If he wasn't to the level where the staff is saying, okay, we can work with that, or we can develop that. There has to be something that they saw. And that goes to the hard work that he put in on and off the field. He still had to go to class and get the grades too. Let's not forget that.
Yep. Well, and Sean, I don't think Texas A&M offered him just because he was Jerome Bettis' son, right? That might be a Notre Dame sign of things, right? To at least mm-hmm. initial response to that conversation. But in the end, he accumulated a really nice offer list, right? A good offer list for where he plays football. He plays in a very good segment of Georgia football, mm-hmm. a very good school in Woodward Academy. And he earned a lot of great offers. So in the end, some people might be against the commitment. Some people might have whatever they want to say about it. But regardless, Notre Dame likes Jerome Bettis Jr. They like him. They wanted him in the class, obviously, for a very long time. It did, and we'll get into this now, the backstory. This was only a matter of time. I mean, I remember when they offered him last Pot of Gold Day, Sean. At the point then, you had heard, he was literally on this podcast. Jerome Bettis Jr. came on this podcast, and he said flat out, okay, that Notre Dame, Chad Bowden, and the rest of the staff had made it very clear to him, we are not offering you because of your last name. We are offering you because you're 6'2 plus, because you have strong hands, because you can help our football team at the end of the day. So he went through the process, and I give Jerome Bettis Jr. a whole lot of credit here, right? Would have been very easy early on to just be like, all right, cool, Notre Dame, I'm going to take here. I know this place very familiar. He put out did you see the video he put out with his dad, several times in South Bend growing up and all that type of stuff, right? Like, it would have been the easy thing just at the point to just do it, right? But I give him a lot of credit because he went through the process, visited a lot of schools, camped a lot of places, did the 7-on-7 thing, and he earned a whole lot of offers, and he earned a lot of opportunities that he had to actually kind of work through and decide if Notre Dame was the best. Because there's always going to be naysayers, Sean. There's always going to be naysayers. Even if Jerome Bettis Jr. is a junior last year, had over 1,000 yards for Woodward Academy, okay, and is a more respected player from a recruiting ranking perspective, some people would still yell nepotism. They still would. They'd be like, oh, he wouldn't be the offer if his name was Jerome Brown, right? Like, RIP, by the way. Jerome Brown, great defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. But that's a conversation for another day. But regardless, he earned it. He is a player Notre Dame wants, Notre Dame likes, and it was only a matter of time. Sean, I guess, could he have gone to Texas A&M? I guess. But did anybody ever think for 1 second that he was going to end up with Notre Dame? I think everybody would be a liar that would say
not, not if they're being honest with themselves.
Right.
Not if you're not. I mean, if you're being honest with yourself. And then you saw the connection and playing with Deuce Knight early this spring on the circuit. Like, you just knew. You knew the relationship with Deuce Knight, the conversation I had with Deuce Knight about his connection with him and Elijah Burris that was established. And that was even before Elijah Burris committed. You know, it pretty much let me know. And for Deuce Knight to say, yo, I trust the evaluation of the coaches. Like, I'm not even worried. Like, yeah, I'm still talking to guys that are on the board, but the guys we have coming in that I feel like we're going to get, yep, I trust that. So, look, relax. Relax, Notre Dame fans, relax. It is Notre Dame sits at number one. 17 commits, am I correct?
18
commits.
18. Yep.
Number one on multiple platforms.
Yep.
And I hear you. Well, we've been here before. You're right. But the program is at a different place, in my opinion. And I think the excitement from recruits around the nation is at a different place about the program than it was 2 years ago.
Yep. Well, and great segue, Sean, because you mentioned it. Number 18 commitment in the class for Notre Dame. We've been talking about the number for a long time. Could get somewhere between 25 to 28, depending on what the format of the class is ultimately, and we'll have numbers kind of shake out. So we are much more than halfway there. I mean, we're talking about maybe seven to 10 guys left in this class potentially. So we'll obviously talk about that moving forward, but he's also the third wide receiver in the class. You mentioned Elijah Burris. We'll mention Sean Terry, obviously the dynamic space player out of Ohio. He fits a need, Sean. We'll talk about the need in the class for a second, because he is a player that brings a much different physical profile than the two wide receivers that you have in the class right now, right? Sean Terry is your gadget space slot type player that's going to catch the ball quick in the quick game, going to make guys miss, jet sweeps. Yeah, you're going to get the ball in his hand, manufacture touches. Then you have Elijah Burris, who's more of the Z in this offense, the outside receiver to the field. He's more route runner, smooth, in and out of breaks, create easy separation. He's more of that type of dude. Think like a Chris Olave that played at Ohio State, like play style perspective, right? And then you have now a Bettis that is more of the bigger body receiver. He is 6'3". He's 190 pounds. I spoke to his coach, one of his assistants at Woodward Academy, that talked to Sean and was like, that kid has such a good frame that maybe he's an H-back eventually. Maybe he plays defense. Maybe he's a rover. Like, he has some possibilities to him. So he brings the size and the physicality to the table, right? And I think that that's the first point we need to talk about, is that he's the third receiver in the class, but he is the only wide receiver with size, really. Like, Elijah Burris is 6', 170 pounds, smaller guy. Sean Terry is 5'9", 5'10", 170 pounds, smaller slot type player. Jerome Bettis is the size to this platform, to this profile, to this team in the 2025 recruiting class, and he obviously has incredibly strong hands, physicality. There's some questions about the caliber of athlete he is, but if nothing else, he brings a lot of size, physicality, and hand strength to the table.
When it comes to types, people don't understand when you're building a wide receiver room, they just want you to go get all the guys that are 6', run a 4'3". That's not how you build an offense. That's not how you build a wide receiver room, right? Because you get into redundancy. And that's something we saw Notre Dame struggle with because of injuries last year, that when they looked up, all they have were the same type of receivers, and they had no versatility, right? So now you're taking guys out of position. They're playing out of position, what impacts them. They're doing more, which leaves them vulnerable to injuries, because if they're used to running in the slot, now they're playing to the field, which is more area. You're asking them to do more things, run deeper routes. It's just, man, it's a domino effect. This is why you build a wide receiver room. And like you said, he gives them a big size receiver, which could be. Look, we watched him and Deuce Knight be very successful with 50-50 balls in the red zone and 7-on-7. So just think about that. If he is that guy, or he can be that guy, he is beneficial. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you think about his measurables or what he runs in the 40, if that is his skill set, and that skill set is something. Look, red zone is important, man. You can go up and down the field. Red zone is important. And defensively and offensively, we've seen previous 2 years ago, the Notre Dame defense was a good defense, but they struggled in the red zone. They struggled in situational football. They took care of that last year, and all of a sudden, what? It's a top three defense. That's our marginal, going from being a good defense to a top three defense is situations and being able to play well in those situations. So now Notre Dame can be even more efficient both ways, because Notre Dame gets into the red zone, we're expecting Notre Dame to be able to pound it in. We got to be able to pound it in. Everything's on the offensive line. Well, Mike Denbrock's not trying to do it that way anymore. And if you can get a guy like Jerome Bettis to be a valuable, along with the tight ends and other receiving options in the red zone, to be valuable pieces in the passing game, it bodes well for this offense to become efficient, especially against better defenses.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And I feel like you always need a glue guy, right? Like, you always need a glue guy in a wide receiver room. Because, mm-hmm. Sean, like, we fall in love with the guys that make crazy explosive plays and create big plays, and you need those guys, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. You need those guys. But how about the guy that digs out a guy in the run game on a critical third and two, right? The guy that you can mm-hmm. reduce down and be able to get into the blocking game. How about a guy that early on in his career is playing special teams on every coverage unit, kickoff coverage, punt coverage, and all those types of things? Those things go super unnoticed, right? But I think that is what Jerome Bettis could be potentially. Like, I'm not sold that he is big-time starter Notre Dame, especially not in his early in his career. I'm just not sold on that being the fact. But if Jerome Bettis Jr. ends up in a 4-5-man wide receiver class being the glue guy that stays for 4 years, represents your program, does all the little things from blocking to playing special teams, to mix and matching different personnel looks, then that's where the value is, right? So mm-hmm. I don't think we just can't look at this kid and say he's not a number one receiver, at least he's not a superstar on the next level, so he stinks, right? We had to have a nuanced conversation there. Not everybody is that, man. Not everyone is that.
I'll go a step further with you, Double R.
Yeah.
We heard the same exact things by a certain wide receiver whose father might not have played in Notre Dame, but he was a Hall of Famer. And when he was being recruited by Notre Dame, everybody was like, he looks slow. Why are they getting him? Da, da, da. And you talk to any and every player that was around the program at that point in time, they'll tell you Corey Robinson was one of the best playmakers at that position.
It's an interesting comp too, because Corey was obviously a little bit taller coming out of Texas. He was like
absolutely
6'4", but
absolutely
he was that glue guy though. Mm-hmm. And he was, and before he started having, you know, the
injury problem
stuff, obviously, yeah. I mean, he was a valuable member of Notre Dame. He really was.
Absolutely,
he would catch. He was also a great kid and student off the field, so like you mm-hmm. never had to worry about him. Yeah, I mean, if he's a Corey Robinson, man, then something wrong with
what's
that.
What's the complaint?
Right.
What's the complaint? It is literally the similar situation. No one was super excited about Corey Robinson coming into that class. But from the moment he stepped on the field, don't believe us, don't believe media. Players that played will tell you, yo, he would just make plays and it would be effortless. Like, it's almost like he really – and I think the way he chose, I think his true passion is what he's doing.
Yes.
I don't think he really had a true passion for football. I think he just played it and had abilities and could be good at it.
Because he was 6'4 with great hands, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it bears watching, man. It bears watching. I tell people all the time, man, don't get so invested in people and stars because our opinions don't decide whether or not they're going to be successful. Jerome Bettis Jr. decides that. So and as a fan, if he's successful, guess what we're going to do? All of a sudden, we're going to be like.
Exactly. And Sean, I would say this too, is that the nuance of the conversation is also this. We have to be willing to admit we're wrong if we're wrong, right? And I am a victim of this because I think people that know me on the channel and know me just in real life and on Twitter or wherever you know me, I'm a very confident person, right, in my evaluations. I'm very confident in what I see, ultimately. But if Jerome Bettis Jr. still has another season of high school football, we're only talking about a junior in high school right now. Who's to say he doesn't take a massive step as a senior? Who's to say? I mean, again, last year, around this time, we were questioning, why is Bryce Young a take for Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We were questioning that. Now, I'm not as confident that Jerome Bettis Jr. will take a big jump like Bryce, because Bryce always had athleticism, right? And the long frame. So he's a little bit of a different situation. But my point is that the final story of these, of the high school versions of these recruits, has not been written yet. We have to understand that. Like, right now, I have my questions about Elijah Burris. I have my questions about Jerome Bettis Jr. I have my questions about Joseph Reef. Those are three guys that I'm like, I'm not sure, man. Not sure mm-hmm. about that one. But you know what they have? They have time to prove me wrong, brother. They have Absolutely. Time to prove me wrong. And I will be willing, if they do, to sit there and say, you know what? Wasn't right about that one. I was a big fan of Ben Minnick when he was a senior. I mean, before a senior, wasn't a big fan. Changed my mind, right? Guys change your mind all the time. You have to be willing to change your mind at the end of the day. And if he does, he does. And it will be. Here's the big thing, Sean. Can we talk about this? Jerome Bettis Jr. becoming a good player at Notre Dame would be massive for the University of Notre Dame. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Like,
the implications of him becoming a dude at Notre Dame, or at least a good player at Notre Dame, that would be great for the brand of Notre Dame football and the future of Notre Dame football, because that last name, whether we want to admit to it or not, is a very attractive thing for a lot of people. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah. You have to agree that, once again, Notre Dame, look, there are a lot of smart people in that room. And I think the massive success, you know, with the commitment yesterday, with Deuce Knight, the commitment, and then what ensued with the pot of gold, it was just a massive successful day for Notre Dame. And so you tip your cap to Marcus Freeman, the entire coaching staff, Chad Bolden, Dre Brown, their support staff, everybody connected to the program. Instead of sitting up here, like, understand that yesterday was a win-win. Jerome Bettis Jr. is a win-win for Notre Dame. He is. First of all, the connection to his dad, the continuance of that legacy at Notre Dame, and whatever he gives to the program as a football player is a win-win. It is. And we sit up here and we can complain and whine and this, that, another. I want this. I want that. Somebody in the chat said, I want a 5-star, you know, with size. Da, da, da. His name is Derek Meadows, ladies and gentlemen. They have him. They're going after him. They have him. So once again, you get.
Well, they don't have him yet, Sean. They're going to have to fight that one. But yeah, I got you.
I'm not saying have him in commitment, but I'm saying they have him as far as in their sights. So we can go to. I'm sure Alabama has 3 stars that they get every year.
Oh yeah,
you know, guys that weren't highly thought of. I just don't see the loss of the commitment of Jerome Bettis Jr. Are we as excited about his commitment as some others possibly? Hey, okay, that's up to each and everyone's opinion, which everyone is entitled to. But at the end of the day, let's not act like this is a great situation for Notre Dame, period. It's a great situation for Notre Dame because at the end of the day, last I checked, regardless of nepotism, something has to be earned.
Yep.
Something has to be earned. I don't think he's on the offer list if he has a 2.2 GPA. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you have to be like a top 5 kid for Notre Dame to make an exception, you know, from an admission standpoint. And this is not that type of kid. He's an elite person, elite student. And if you don't believe he's an elite athlete, doesn't matter. He still determines his value to the program. And that's something we just have to wait and see.
Yep. Yeah, so I mean, I think that Jerome Bettis Jr. brings a lot of value to the Notre Dame program. Whether he becomes a star wide receiver or not, I think that the value in him as a person, as a student, and as a potential glue guy for Notre Dame at worst is going to present value to Notre Dame. Now, Sean, you mentioned something which I think is a great ending to this conversation, okay? Notre Dame, though, now, three wide receivers in the class, Elijah Burris, Sean Terry, Jerome Bettis Jr., you have to get a dude with potentially the last spot. There's a possibility that Notre Dame could go to five if the right situation happens, okay? There's a possibility out there. But whoever this fourth wide receiver is that you bring in, it's got to be a dude, man. Has to be, because let's be honest with ourselves. Elijah Burris is hopefully a developmental dude that becomes a guy, right? Sean Terry is a niche player that is a very valuable niche, and I think he's going to be a really instrumental player for Notre Dame, especially in the RPO game. But he's not a high-volume kid, more than likely on the next level. And then we talked about what Jerome Bettis Jr. potentially brings to the table. You need now to find that last spot potentially with a dude. And you mentioned it. You mentioned him. There's one guy that, Sean, literally a couple hours after Jerome Bettis Jr. makes his commitment, you know who he's tweeting at already, Sean? You know who he's tweeting at? Bishop Gorman, wide receiver, Las Vegas, Nevada, Derek Meadows. 6'5", 200 pounds, athletic, physically imposing wide receiver that is right near the top of Notre Dame's board. Now, he's not the only player at the top of the board, though. I would say that Notre Dame is still recruiting heavily Taylen Taylor, who's going to be back on campus. They're still recruiting Raiden Vines Bright out of IMG Academy, formerly out of the state of Arizona, that is going to be taking two visits to Notre Dame this offseason. So it's not just Derek Meadows in this conversation. Not just Derek Meadows. But Notre Dame does need to, if it stays at four, get a dude at four. If it goes to five, I would argue that you need to get two dudes at the last two. Like, if you can push it to five, potentially getting Derek Meadows and Raiden Vine Bright, or Derek Meadows and Taylen Taylor, or Taylen Taylor and Raiden Vines Bright, whatever the combination is, that would make you feel a whole lot better about wide receiver recruiting, right? Because right now you have your depth, you have three-man class that can work, but ultimately you need to find a dude or two to finish out this class. You need to be able to close on a couple of those elite dudes at the top of the board.
I want them to stretch it to five, double R.
I would hope so too.
I think they have room to add an extra wide receiver. You know, that depends on how they look at things and how it shapes up in the 26 class and what they think about the wide receivers in the 26 class, which I'm sure we're going to get to. But Taylen Meadows would be a dream. Are you, man? If you get Taylen Meadows, I don't think, I'll be honest. If they end up with Taylen Meadows in the class, I don't think anybody would even care about the rest of the class. I just don't. I really don't. Yeah, I think that effect happens a lot of times in recruiting, double R, because we become fascinated with either film or star ratings, right? And star rankings. I don't think getting Cam Williams early had such an impact on the way people thought about wide receiver recruiting. See, this is the thing. Look at this. So let's inverse this, right? Let's say, hypothetically, Notre Dame's first wide receiver commit was Derek Meadows. It totally changes the way everyone sees the rest of the class.
Absolutely.
Totally changes it. Cam Williams commits early. Nobody was super intensive about Logan Sadate and the other receivers that came. They didn't do that to them.
Yeah, and Logan Saldate was only a three-star when he committed to Notre Dame. Now, he became a four-star by a couple of different platforms. But to your point, Sean, like, nobody was like, why are you taking this three-star in the chat, right?
You know why? You know why? Because we had a guy.
Right.
We already had a guy in the class. And see, that's the problem now with the 25 class and why these kids are being scrutinized by a lot of fans, because they don't have that protection in their mind of having that guy in the class. If you had a guy that signed early, then fans all of a sudden, they're more willing to say, okay, who is this kid? Okay, he must be good. They must see something in him. But because that big receiver hasn't committed early like Cam Williams did, man, you know, you see the inverse of it. And you see the impact of the responses to the commitments from a Sean Terry, from an Elijah Burris, from a Jerome Bettis Jr. So that just shows you perspective and how things can change. When things, based upon the way things happen, you know, this year just seems to be the inverse of the way last year's wide receiver recruiting went. And if they end up with the top guys at the end, what does it matter? I know I went to the first practice And I was like, oh, okay, this cat Michael Gilbert is okay. All right. I know Cam Williams is the expectation is he's going to be the dude, but this other guy, he's pretty good, man.
It's pretty good. Yep. And that's and Logan Saldate is not even going to get there until the summer, right?
Right.
Yeah. But regardless, because I think we need to have like a nuanced conversation a little bit more, because I see in the chat where we're just talking about, you know, stargazers and, you know, haven't won a championship in 35 years. Sean, there were some really good recruiting classes under Brian Kelly, wasn't there? And did they win a national championship because of that? Or I don't know, man. Just there's a lot of nuance to the conversation. I will be full transparent. I have my questions about wide receiver recruiting in 2025, okay? But my questions will get answered a whole lot more if you finish out the class the way you should finish out the class. Then it becomes a little bit of a different conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I'm always much more, and I agree, some stars matter to some degree. I agree with that in the chat. But I also care more about offer lists than I do about stars, ultimately. Because, Sean, do you remember when I just had a little bit of an intel piece on Dalen Penson, who's the defensive back in 2025 coming to campus this offseason?
Yeah.
You remember when he was offered, Sean, and people were like, who the heck is this kid? He's got no stars, right? Like, no stars. Well, now he's ranked the number 100 player in the country, and he's a consensus 4-star player and a top 200 player by everyone. These rankings change so frequently and so quickly, and it's so subjective. I prefer offer lists, okay? Talk to me about an offer list. Sean Terry's the 3-star, right? Go look at his offer list and give me a stupid 3-star. Stop, man. There were so many great schools that were coming after Sean Terry. Javion Campbell that's visiting this summer. I would take that kid yesterday, right? Yesterday. He's a 3-star, though. Well, I don't care. I don't care if he's a 3-star. You know why? Because his offer list is expanding quickly. Ohio State just offered. I think Michigan may have, or they're going to very quickly here, right? I don't know, man. I don't know. And we'll see. We'll see as we move forward. But again, the star rankings, they matter in the sense of, like, it's a subjective way that it matters, right? If I look at the class and I say, personally, I watch the film, I watch these players, and I'm like, dude, they didn't get enough high-caliber talent, right? Then subjectively to myself, that matters. But I'm not going to look at just a blank 247 ranking, all due respect to 247, not throwing shade on them specifically, but just a random recruiting platform, and I just look at the rankings, I look at the stars, and I don't do any research myself. I don't look at any offer lists. I don't do any background research. I don't watch the film. I don't do any of it. And I just take that for gospel. Well, that's flawed, right? That's just taking someone's word for it that you have no idea how much they know. Right? Like, it's just, there's nuance to this conversation.
Why do NFL teams employ scouts to go to small schools and non-Power 5 schools on Saturdays and weekends for practices? If it was all about 5-stars and 4-stars, then just go to Ohio State games, Michigan games, Notre Dame games. Don't go scout the non-Power 5 schools that lead to players making it to the Hall of Fame. Don't do that. Don't go to the Gramblings. You know how many HBCU guys from back in the day are in the Hall of Fame because the scout went outside of the norm to go find a great player? But no, don't do that. No need to actually think outside the box and actually watch film, and actually embrace coaching. No need to do that. No need to do that. You talked about it. Brian Kelly, problem wasn't talent. It was coaching and development. Huge problem, coaching and development. Huge problem defensively. When you had big-time players, but you had a coach that was just a bumbling fool and didn't know how to implement great players like a Jalen Smith into his defense. He had defensive backs making checks. Who does that? Cornerbacks being able to make checks. Who does that? Man, look, complain about Clemson didn't have a top five. When they won their first championship, that didn't come from a top five recruiting class. It didn't. They eventually got there with the Trevor Lawrence championship. When Deshaun Watson won, that wasn't built on top five recruiting classes. That was based on coaching, culture and development, and having a big-time quarterback. That's what it was based on. Offensive line was super mid. Super mid. They held up against Alabama, didn't they?
They did.
Okay, they did. Then.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So Notre Dame is doing the same thing, in my opinion.
Yep.
Everybody that wanted Marcus Freeman just to come in and just start offering five stars based upon what? Do you understand what the narrative in the recruiting circles was about Notre Dame? That was some work to be done.
And also, Sean, I mean, Notre Dame included in this, but in a lot of colleges, they have recruiting departments now that watch film. They have scouting departments now. They have a general manager role. What's the point of having all that if you're just going to look at a recruiting ranking from 247 or On3 or anybody else? That's not your evaluation. It's not your evaluation at all. So I will, again, there are players that I have questions upon, but I'm willing to have my mind changed, first and foremost. And then overly, though, and I express this, right, is that I love having a conversation about this stuff. I truly do. And if someone has, like, let's say, look, let's use Joseph Reif as an example, right, Sean? Mm-hmm. There's a wide range of varying opinions on what Joseph Reif is as a player. Someone, people really like him. Some people aren't super high on him, and some people lie in between. Let's talk about why, right, Sean? Like, let's talk about why. And I don't want any of this conversation about why to be about his star rating. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that. On film, I have some concerns. Someone that doesn't have concerns, talk to me about why you don't have concerns. How does he fit? What's he going to be on the next level? Like, there's a nuance to this conversation about star rankings that I get lost in. But regardless, folks, that is Jerome Bettis Jr. And I know our conversation went way off the rails there, but I want to move on here in a second because we have a special guest that is going to be joining the show here in a second. Before I get there, though, and that little bit of an intro, please, before we move on to the next section of the podcast, hit that like button for us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, notification bell if you're listening to us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, make sure you like the video, make sure you subscribed, and then also 5-star reviews are very much appreciated. BoersIrishBreakdown.com. We'll have a lot of team and recruiting intel moving forward for the rest of the season. First place to find it is Boers.IrishBreakdown.com. We'll get into an interview here next with a recent offer for the University of Notre Dame in the 2026 class on the Irish Breakdown podcast.